pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. All you got to do is text me. Let me know what's on your mind, and we will proceed accordingly. Still come on the program, Will Hampson. That's about 30 minutes from now. So please make sure that you stay tuned for that. Let's roll through some text here, and we'll do a recap of the news. Tim. The church pew sales, we touched on something they keep talking about. These children that aren't being able to eat because the schools are shut down and they can't get lunch. Well, hell, you giving parents the money to buy them food through the SNAP program, tell me why they can't eat. Because they don't spend it properly, or there's a black market. It's not getting where it needs to get. People shouldn't go hungry, especially children in our country. I mean, but some of it, you can't bring it on yourself. I mean, the thing I was trying to get out with Congressman Carl was, as long as you have the social safety net, people will rely on it as sort of a social safety hammock. And then they'll engage in the bad behavior. Are the behavior that's keeping them from being employable and having a better life. Those are real things. So, like, what do you just yank it out from underneath them? I mean, it's not a glamorous life to be a government assistant. Just work. And in some places, there's just no work to be had. But then you got to move. I mean, that's just migration. That's part of it. How does the economy grapple with that? Because, like, my thinking on this is, if you pay enough, you got to make it worthwhile for people to work. And they look at it like this. Okay, if I take the low-skill job, pays an hourly wage, then I'm going to lose some of my benefits. It's just a net loser. You understand? So why would I do that? And you have this other thing with the nuclear family, where you have real, I guess, cohabitation, but you don't have marriages, because once that union is legal, then the breadwinner in the family maybe making more money, and the mom in this scenario would lose her benefits. And I mean, it's just a cost benefit analysis of why, what would get you motivated to get off the couch and go to work. I think the child care thing is a real thing. The story I've told on this show a few times. It's coming back from Birmingham. I had some business up there. And I went the old way. I went down through Bessemer, down Highway 5, down into Thomasville, down 43 into Mobile. We get to Centerville to stop and get gas. Centerville's in Bibb County, about 45 minutes south of Birmingham. And at the convenience store, truck stop, or whatever it was, there was a woman working a checkout stand behind the counter. There's also a crib back there that had her kid in it. Hey, you know, like, I'm a parent. I can't imagine that, dealing with your infant and trying to run a register at the same time in a public setting. No, look, we work all the time from home, and some of that's just a reality when the kids are homesick or whatever. But imagine having to take your child with you to work. Especially in an environment like that. You don't know, you know, who's passing through or whatever. But it just, it illustrated like a real problem. Like, you know, don't have the children out of wedlock or whatever. Fine. But guess what? Children are being had out of wedlock and you can't outlaw it. But something's changed in the culture. It's not taboo. And there's the safety net there to keep you from, you know, not engaging in that behavior, risky behavior. It's a chicken egg problem. But government's got to figure out a way to motivate people to work and show them that the net reward is, it's worth it. Now, with the people who are chemically addicted to something, I mean, yes, quit, but it's not that easy. I mean, I've never been addicted to hard drugs. I don't know how hard it is to quit, but I know people who have. It's wrecked their lives. It becomes like a thing. The most important thing in their life is their fix. I'm not like being a bleeding heart, compassionate guy here, but there's a reality there that we have to acknowledge. And how do you fix that? 251-343-0106. Real quick, the news. Really, Graham Plattner is the big news, the big national news, the Democrat nominee for U.S. Senate in Maine. He's got some problems with some old allegations against him, and they're coming to light. But my analysis of it, sort of this, like, guys, the Nazi tattoo didn't do it for you. The first round of allegations in the New York Times didn't do it for you. And really what did it for him was they looked at the polling and they looked at him head-to-head against Susan Collins and they can't win that race. We do this every 6 years with her. This will be the year Susan Collins loses. She's like, she never loses. It's just that the Democratic Party sees that as a gettable seat. It's sort of how Republicans, as of late, view John Ossoff in Georgia. On paper, it should be gettable, but there's just something about it that makes it unobtainable. Does Carl believe in weed? I have MS weed gummies help me more than pills from the doctor. You know, like, if it makes you a functioning human being in society, it's going to preclude you from some work that you won't be able to have when you have that in your system, but it's much, much better than hard drugs, and it's something we need to talk about. I am not for legalization of recreational marijuana. But there's a reality here. It's better that than some street drugs. At least you can regulate it. Jeff, trying to find original podcast date for when Todd Stacy talked about Plattner. Help me out again. Thanks, man. It had to be like the very first Friday in June, I think, or the first or second Friday. When the story came out, it was last month, and then we talked about it the day after on the program. So you can go back and find that New York Times story. And then Todd Stacy was on that next Friday. Billy, does the federal government buying stock in corporations constitute socialism? Yeah, or is it 20th century fascism when the government takes ownership of private companies? Sean says Mitch McConnell is dead. Old guy, it wasn't the 65-plus crowd. Mike, we paid our own way and provided for our future. Jimmy Carter destroyed the economy when we were in our late teens and 20s. Your future was given to Europe so they could have free health care. It's still happening. Wake up. That from old guy. Leo, Jeff, I totally disagree with you. I should not be forced at gunpoint to pay for bad decisions having kids you can't afford. You shouldn't. I mean, but do a cost-benefit analysis, Leo, and here's the deal. If this person is working and contributing to society, and I don't think that the government should pay for health care, I mean, child care, but government needs to figure out a way to make it available that it is there at a certain age. Entry into this space is very difficult for good reason. They don't want bad daycare springing up around the state that could harm your children. But it is difficult. And I don't know what you could do to keep women from having children out of wedlock or children from being conceived in situations that are not financially sustainable. But the children are here. They're not going away, Leo. You have to deal with what is before us and not the theoretical. So you want to get this person where they're a net taker from society to be a net contributor, then what do? Where that cost-benefit aspect of it is, okay, this person's working, paying taxes, and paying into the system. We got them up off the couch. We got them working. We got them being productive members of society. And if we had to figure out a way to do childcare, and it may be this, we give out, Leo, copious economic incentives to these companies, tax abatements. We build their water and sewer infrastructure. In some cases, we build their highway into their plant. They, in turn, offer something back in the form of a daycare or something. I don't know. But it's not necessarily government just handing out free tickets to the local daycare where you pay for it out of your pocket. But understand this, that there is a net benefit to you, the taxpayer, if you can mitigate this circumstance, as irresponsible as it may be perceived to be, and get them working. So it's not that people are going to hold you at gunpoint and tell you you have to pay for their child care. But if you could take care of the child care and they could figure out a way to get on their feet and start paying for their own child care, and you take them off the welfare rolls, isn't that a net positive? You got to be very, this is a very delicate balance here. But remember this, as long as that's the case, like, I can't go to work, child care is too expensive, I'd have to spend my entire paycheck on child care. What's the point of going to work? I'll just rely on the social safety net. Do you see the problem here? Toothless Bammer Plantner. Resume was perfect for a Democrat congressional seat, not Senate. Senate, there's just too much at stake. You're right. There's too much at stake. And I think the powers that be said, no, we're not gonna entertain this left wing nut coming into Washington, D.C. at our most exclusive club. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Was the finest pickup to ever play the blues. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5, 24 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Will Hampson coming up in the next segment program. We know it tomorrow on the show, Joey Clark and a couple other guests to be named later. We will figure that out. But always 8 o'clock a.m. Sometime in the 8 o'clock hour, we will post a guest list for the show at x.com/Jeff_4. Note from Sean here. Todd is at noon today, and he'll ask about Plattner and his interactions with him. That'll be there you go. There's your opportunity, so you don't have to dig up a podcast from a month ago to hear from Todd Stacy about his interactions with Graham Plattner. The old Tune In, still alive and well, I understand. I'm going to roll through these texts real quick. Ultra Runner, what about putting a time limit on the safety net? What about going back to the 5-year lifetime max? Something like that would be appropriate. At least you kind of put a finish line on it. But it's just the incentive to work. Essentially, Americans through the government are subsidizing labor. Let me explain, you know, that employers aren't paying as much. Wages haven't increased. That causes inflation. But the government, you take the government out of the equation and move that back into the private sector. The hope was that the private sector would pay more, and that would motivate people to work. But you got to find a balance. You can't just, we can't have people starving to death in America. We can't go back to Dust Bowl 1920s America. But we also don't need an enabling government for bad behavior. Dave writes, Jeff, it just blew my mind. Ask AI this. Did a mixed black navigator as the pilot and navigator of the Santa Maria actually discover America's old Columbus's voyage? Yes, Pedro Alonso Nino, a mixed race black Spanish navigator from historically El Negro, was the pilot of the Santa Maria during Christopher Columbus's historic 1492 voyage. However, the concept of who discovered America is complex. While Nino's technological navigation and expertise literally guided a flagship across the Atlantic, indigenous people had already inhabited America for millennia, and Columbus had commanded the expedition. Happy 250th birthday, Declaration of Independence. I agree, Columbus may not have actually discovered America. I'm suggesting whatever Columbus is credited with, the black man actually did it. In addition, Columbus took slaves even on his first voyage. I think it was more indigenous people based in terms of what he brought back to Europe, but he did it. I mean, AI is going to give you the leftist slant on whatever you ask, depending on what AI medium you use. So, you know, it's, I guess, technically free speech. Fire Dog, did you say steak? I'm hungry now. Unnamed texture. It's a cultural issue, not a political issue. The culture has been trashed, and no one has the guts to speak frankly. You're not going to save people by the law. It doesn't work in religion. It doesn't work in politics. It certainly doesn't work in culture. This is a cultural issue. Civilization is rotting, and you're witnessing a point where people will abandon all agency for the sake of predetermined outcome, cradle to grave. I just don't think that works in America. I think there's something in the DNA. Leo, simple solution. I wouldn't mind paying for any female of a childbearing age drawing any welfare. Must be first on birth control to receive the welfare. There's an injection they could get good for 3 months. Also make orphanages great again. Anybody that can't afford to feed their kids loses them. Well, you know, then that becomes very cost prohibitive. That is very expensive. One more text here before we go to the break. Terry writes, the Democrat Party is showing once again that it is not democratic by attempting to usurp the main voter's will. That's what's going on here. It's just a pressure campaign. If the Nazi tattoo wasn't the DQ, then where are these allegations? They just are. I'm not saying it didn't happen and he shouldn't have to face some kind of consequences for what he did. But you ride or die with a candidate. And Graham Plattner was given lots of airtime. He was promoted by the media. And now that they see that this is not a winnable race and it's going to jeopardize Democrats' shot at taking the Senate, they're jumping off the ship here. I really believe that. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. When the dealing's done.
Every gambler knows that the secret
is it's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the purple sky. Feel that lonesome chill.
Welcome back to the Jeff Borris Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line, time permitting, we'll get to your text, 251-343-0106 is what you got to do. You got to text me, let me know what is on your mind. Joining us now on the line, he's with P2 Public Affairs. Our Tuesday regular, Will Hampson, is with us. Will, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, doing great. Glad to be with you as always, and glad that none of us have to pretend to be soccer fans anymore.
So I was going to ask you, how are you going to spend your summer nights now that the U.S. has lost, no longer part of the World Cup?
Listen, I love my country as much as anyone. I watched, I rooted, but goodness gracious, it is just soccer is not baseball, Jeff. So I am I'm glad that we can watch exciting sports again and not have to be shamed into caring.
I didn't care. I didn't watch. I watched probably 30 minutes of a U.S. game. And there were some times when it would be on only because there was something on before it on one of the Fox channels. And it's just, it's forced. And I get it. We want to have a good showing for the world with the World Cup here, but it's just not a, this is just isn't a soccer country.
Yeah, it's not our thing. And trying to force it against countries who it is their thing is, of course, not going to go well. Now, I think it was great for the United States, obviously. I mean, you had all these people coming over and, you know, spending time in Auburn, Alabama, and College Station, Texas, and, you know, Kennesaw, Georgia. I mean, I think it was absolutely great for the United States to have all these people over here. And, you know, they discovered that they love ranch dressing and that our TSA won't let you stuff it all in your carry-ons. But again, you know, good, great, glad that it happened, but glad that it's over, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and just like I said, I we're just not a soccer country, but you go to like the grocery store, and it's just over the top, like with the marketing and packaging. It's not indicative of society. Sure, we can be excited about it. It's a once in a, you know, maybe an every 20-year thing that we get to host it. But the U.S. is just, our athletes go play baseball, basketball, football. They don't play soccer.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened is exactly what should be expected, right? I mean, you beat a tiny little former Soviet, you know, nation state in the first round of the playoffs, and then you played a real country that this is what they do. They play soccer, and they beat the ever-loving crap out of us. So, you know, again, it's one of those things where, you know, I just did all of this, you know, we're going to be a soccer country now, and this is really good for the game. And sure, I hope it is. I hope there's a kid out there that, you know, maybe finds that they love soccer and goes and that becomes their thing. But this whole, like, we're going to become a soccer country because we hosted and everyone watched it. Come on.
It's become a virtue signaling thing. Like, these European elitists, and this is what they do in other parts of the world that are better than America. They like soccer. And you're like, no, they don't. I mean, like, you know, this is just not American. Don't try to force this on us. And the people who are pretending to be interested in sports right now, they don't mean it. They want to be like the other kids across the street.
Or some of the people where Donald Trump got involved by making a phone call to basically say, guys, what's up with this red card? And now we're supposed to, you know, virtue signal by having that player sit out, even though he's allowed to play, or we're supposed to root against the United States because this is red. The whole thing is like, guys, come on. It was a cool thing. Again, I think it's good for the country. Some Europeans came over. They realized we're not as bad as they've been told. Let's leave it at that. I think it is what it is. And any attempts, to your point, you're spot on, Jeff, to make this more than what it was is just a little bit silly to me.
It's a one-time thing, and it's not changed the country forever. People are going to go clamoring for Major League Soccer or anything like that. It's just we did it, okay? Okay, now we can pretend it doesn't matter for another 4 years.
And even, I mean, I heard one commentator saying, you know, hopefully this is great for the women's professional soccer league, that people realize, you know, that they actually have loved soccer all along. They just didn't know it. And then they realize that the women are better than the men. And so, you know, maybe women's professional soccer league, whatever the heck they call it, like, come on. I promise you, there will still be, you know, the same 100 people that were there last month will be there next month. Let's move on again and be able to admit it was a cool thing. That's great. I'm glad that the United States had this opportunity, but I'm really over it, Jeff. And I don't think that I'm the only one. And I think if people are over it, then you kind of missed the mark on what could have been.
Well, and I've been, you know, paying attention to sports media. I mean, ESPN talk radio is sports talk is all NBA all the time. They didn't really take the bait. It's just not. There's a lack of education there. It's just not part of the culture. It's not part of the heritage. And it's forced on us. And that's what I find it off-putting, that, oh, no, you have to care about soccer. You have to care. You do not love your country. Don't you love your country? And it becomes something like that. But it's not that at all. It's not a sport in our DNA. And we just have to, you know, people are going to have to accept that. Then they'll go back to doing whatever they do, and they won't think twice about soccer again. The same people are telling us, hey, it could happen. It's not going to happen, guys.
Yeah, and look, I mean, this is not a new thing either. I mean, Jeff, I've lived in D.C. for a good while. I had no idea that D.C. Had its own soccer team. Now, again, I'm not claiming that I'm the sharpest tool in the shed here, but, you know, in a city that prides itself on being more elite and better than everyone else, like a D.C., there are a lot of people that don't even know that D.C. has a soccer team.
So well, that is a soccer, this idea that, soccer stadium, doesn't it?
It does. They do, which I also just learned. You know, down by the river where you don't.
It's the old RFK. Yeah, it's the old RFK where the Redskins once played. That they turned that into a soccer venue, and yeah, have fun riding the green line out there or whatever.
You do see it in some of these cities where you know, they like to pretend that they're, you know, we're highfalutin, we have a soccer team. Like, okay, guys.
Yeah, well, it's just virtue signaling that I find off-putting. People who don't care about other sports, now all of a sudden they're super sports ball fans. All right, we get it. Hey, Graham Plattner, how big of a deal is this?
It's funny, Jeff. I mean, I've talked to some folks at the NRSC this morning, talked to some friends that are at different places, and, you know, I think the chaos is good. I think they believe that obviously this brings, you know, Maine back into not safe territory, but I think this has given some juice to Susan Collins. That's obviously a big race. If Republicans are going to keep control of the Senate, we have to keep Maine. So I think that there's a little invigoration, but, you know, frankly, the thing that I think is the funniest part of all of this, Jeff, is that you're kind of hearing Republicans go, you know, it's nice to see Democrats have to deal with this for once, right? I mean, you had finally the AJC in Atlanta had to go and ask Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff what they thought of the Plattner stuff. They had avoided that for weeks up to this point. And, you know, now everyone has to be, you know, involved, and they have to care, and they have to tweet that they've rescinded their endorsement.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's not a big deal. I really don't think any of this matters, frankly. But that is kind of the amusement from some going, you know, those poor Democrats where they kind of have to, you know, this is 20% of what a Republican goes through in a race, and they have to deal with this, those poor things.
I mean, if Graham Plattner were up by 20 points, they would sweep this under the rug. They looked at it. They needed to beat Susan Collins to better their shot at taking the Senate. And he's not going to win. You know, it's just no one. I mean, he'll have his enthusiastic supporters, but the call was made. It's too choreographed. You just seeing there are floating names of potential Graham Plattner replacements, and they're all the same on every channel. It's too choreographed. It's too obvious what's going on here.
Yeah, but Democrats do this, Jeff. I mean, you obviously remember in 2016 where Bernie burst on the scene and, you know, the powers that be were able to make rules with superdelegates and all of the things that ended up with Hillary Clinton being the nominee. Democrats will do this. The call goes out. The talking points go out. And a lot of those kind of institutions that still run the Democratic Party will fall in line pretty quick and go, okay, this is the plan. These are the marching orders. Let's go do it. You saw it obviously with Kamala Harris. Once that call came down from the powers that be, it kind of was like, all right, we're just going to do a little swap here and we're going to act like nothing really happened. And, you know, it's how the Democrats operate. But frankly, it's also how they lose a lot of these races. I think Democrat voters, particularly the ones that are feeling more emboldened, are seeing Mamdani and other socialists across the country get elected. They kind of are starting to understand, you know, our party really is stacked against our voters. It'll be interesting to see if there's any sort of recourse from Maine voters. Because they did make it clear. And here's the other frustrating thing, Jeff, right? My frustration with a lot of these people, this was a line too far. You know, like, okay, guys, he was on a Predator's Paradise app, potentially messaging underage people. He had cheated on a spouse. He had Nazi tattoos. Let's not act like, you know, oh, my gosh, we thought he was a really great guy and we're just as taken back as everyone else is. They were going to 100% put up with it until the second that polling showed that he couldn't win the race. That's obviously where we're at. I think you're spot on, Jeff. If he were still up and he were still the one to beat Susan Collins, I promise you, we would be hearing a very different tune from most of these national Democrats.
But this is what Democrats, this is the world they have created. They have whipped their voters up into such a frenzy over Trump, and you know, some of it may be justified even, but some of it's just clearly just outrage bait. And what did they think this, where was this going to go? It was going to radicalize the Democratic Party, and it was going to work against the Pelosi Schumer faction. It always was. This is just the reality of it, and now they have to own this. This is the world that they have made. And I'm curious to see where it goes, because should they be successful here at getting Graham Plattner off the ballot, you're going to find, I think, even more of a revolt among Democrat voters.
But Jeff, here's where Democrats are in a lot of trouble. What Republicans do, right, is we have very tough, hard, thorough primaries where our candidates are vetted, right? I mean, you've got Barry Moore and Steve Marshall and Jared Hudson and all of these guys are throwing stuff at each other. If this stuff was there, it probably comes out in a primary and it probably becomes a big factor in who Republicans pick as their nominees. This is the downside of the Democrat machine, is that they don't have rigorous processes where they're internally vetting each other, where they're fighting it out and the best man wins. They're handpicking candidates. And unfortunately, when you do that, sometimes your handpicked candidate has some skeletons in the closet that you don't get to because you've avoided that process. You've made sure that whoever we handpick comes out smelling like roses. Well, sometimes there is something there. And in this case, Jeff, there were, you know, 20 bodies. I mean, this was obviously Dahmer levels of skeletons in Plattner's closet. But that's what you get when you the powers that be handpick and then protect their people through that process. You get people that come into a general election with a lot of bodies. But again, Jeff, I think the really important thing to keep in mind here, Democrats knew that there were skeletons. They were well aware. Right. Again, they thought that they could do what they always do. They thought that the media would protect him, that their institutions were strong enough to overcome it, and that, frankly, as long as he was able to win, that voters wouldn't care. I mean, we've seen, again, John Fetterman ran with a brain of mush, and voters didn't care. It was D versus R. It was more important that Democrats win. Democrat voters will ignore a lot, and I think that's why they're in this hole, is because they thought it would be business as usual, that the voters would kind of ignore it and go, you know what, Sure, he might be a Nazi who, you know, is stalking underage kids and cheating on his wife, but he's our Nazi who's stalking underage kids cheating on his wife, and we'll still vote for him because at the end of the day, it's more important that we win. Democrats have a really big reckoning here, because between the two, where they're refusing to vet their candidates and understanding that the ecosystem out there takes it really easy on Democrats, they believe that as long as the polling shows that you can win, we're just going to kind of stick by our guy.
Well, it's this, though, too, and some of that's true. But, Janet Mills was Schumer's chosen candidate, and that just wasn't a winnable candidate. The deal with that is, though, I mean, they've been pushing the socialism. They've been pushing the Trump derangement thing. There's like a real enthusiasm in the Democratic Party, but what they're telling them is you need to put your enthusiasm toward these moderate milquetoast candidates, and that's just not going to fly. Okay, that these people, I don't know if you've ever been to a Democratic National Convention. Those are some true believers. They boo all the wrong things. They are radical ideologues. That's where the party is. But what the party leadership is trying to do is try to marginalize that. But at some point, you're not going to hold that back. That's where the energy is. And that, this is what Republicans went through, you know, Tea Party era. They had to have these skirmishes, a civil war, and kind of settle on something. And we saw what happened. But with Plattner and with these DSA candidates in New York City and Colorado, this is a net product of the environment that they have created and relied upon successfully for years. But at some point, that payment is going to come due, and these elections are going to turn out the way they have to turn out.
Absolutely, Jeff. And there used to be adults in the room. You had Nancy Pelosi types, Obama types that were able to reel everything in, make sure everyone stayed for the most part in line. The adults are gone now. The inmates are running the asylum, and it is a scary time for Democrats. But obviously it comes out to Republicans beating them, and that's not a given.
Will, where can folks find you online if they so choose?
The Will Hampson on X, Jeff.
I'll check it out. Will, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks. Appreciate you as always.
All right, let's get a break in here. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles, kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.
Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside of Moby with the Memphis Blues again.
To the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. So what's led to this Tuesday morning? Unnamed texture, you're so deranged. Can't even watch soccer without thinking about liberals or virtue signaling. Well, I mean, I think there's some truth to it, whether they like it or not. Jeff, wonder what the Euros thought about Auburn when they saw a local room streak eliminated throwing toilet paper in the trees. Toothless Bammer, funny how you get the soccer fans that come dressed out and out of the closet every 4 years. Having grandsons that played high school football and soccer, no doubt the soccer is at least fourth tier in interest. Soccer is like hockey and Mobile outside transplants and a handful of actual fans along with sports snobs. Actual, outside of casual curiosity, nobody cares. Ultra Runner, I can't think of a candidate with more flag fights than Plattner, can you? I don't know, maybe Roy Moore. Matt, hey, Jeff, I know it's tough, but Republicans are guilty as tribalism, as Democrats, excluding the Nazi tattoo. Trump has similar baggage, infidelity, extreme vulgar language on his recordings, alleged rape claims, and our party stood by him all the way. Just saying that from Matt. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile, Sean Sullivan back in the saddle. Yeah. Here. Sean, what you got?
Hey, man. And the people in Boston, I mean, you know, World Cup wise, we're fired up. I mean, I wanted to get, I say that, you know, every couple of years I try to watch soccer the same way I eat artichoke to see if I like it, you know, and it's just like artichoke. I mean, I try every, like, because, you know, your tastes change and stuff, but it just, I don't know. I don't, like, dislike, I just not my, you know, I only have so many hours. I don't sit still very much and watch television, so couldn't, but, you know, I could see, like, the vibe. I was up in Boston, that's where we went on vacation. And there's, you know, the city's fired up. They had all the, you know, they had their matches there. They said the Scots drank the town dry, you know, and when games were on, we'd poke ahead into a pub, and it was kind of fun to watch the people react. I don't know. But soccer's still not, you know. I have a sister who played for SMU. I mean, but soccer player at collegiate level. So I,
but. Well, the thing is, I just don't like it forced on us, right? Like, make it organic, then we're talking, but. There's sort of an astroturfing of, hey, you have to like soccer, and I don't really appreciate that.
Yeah, I wanted to like it because some of the jerseys look cool. I saw up there, and they had beer specials, but I like that part. I just, the game wasn't, you know.
Yeah, the game, and I really appreciate the fans, but it's just not an American thing. But anyway, what you got today, Sean?
Coming up in just a minute or so, Todd Stacy's going to join me on the show. Also, April Marie Fogle and a whole lot more coming up on Midday Mobile.
Y'all stay tuned for that. That's it for me. I got to get out of here. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis. I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.